Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 715, well, it has been quite a while. In fact, probably an entire season since we've done a walk and talk podcast. So, because spring has sprung here in the Twin Cities, we're going to do a walk and talk in podcast 715. Kind of a spring reset as we breathe the fresh air and take a little midnight walk here around the environs by the broadcast bunker and talk about the things going on, get people reset for the week in podcast 715. Predictions and endorsements and planting your flag and why that is dangerous in today's analytical and political world in podcast 715. Favorite podcast that I did in the last few weeks was podcast 711, where I interviewed Sal DeLeo, who is an inspirational speaker and author. His story, as told in the book, Did I Ever Thank You, Sister, is the kind of story that you don't hear too much anymore. Sal and his two sisters and brother were taken away by the state of Illinois from his mother and sent to an orphanage in Joliet, which is the only home that he knew from the age of about six on up through his time in Boys Town and up to, you know, his college career. And Sal is an inspirational speaker and author. What he talks about is gratitude and inspiration as sort of an organizing principle of life, and he has certainly lived it. Once you hear the story, you may want Sal to come and speak to your group. He does a great speech, and you may want to get the book, Did I Ever Thank You, Sister? To do that, all you have to do is go to saldeleo.com, S-A-L-D-I-L-E-O, saldeleo.com, saldeleo.com. There's also a banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com, which shows you the book and a picture of Sal making a speech. And Sal also said, give him my cell phone number, because he speaks for free. He only brings copies of the book, and if you want to buy the book, fine. 612-382-3582, that's 612-382-3582. Or saldeleo.com. A lot of detail in the interview. It's a great thing to listen to, podcast 711. And again, if you check out the book and you want to have Sal come and speak to your group, there's a lot more to the story that you'll hear. All you have to do is visit saldeleo.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. If you click on the banner or the outbound link at the bottom of the podcast blog on the page at the bobdavispodcast.com, it's going to take you to a landing page specifically for Bob Davis Podcast listeners, or you can just type in saldeleo.com. And thanks, Sal, for doing the interview with me and also sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. You know, I spent all weekend working on a presentation for a business group that I'm going to be working with, and I was amazed at the number of podcasts I've done and the availability of those podcasts across all kinds of different platforms. If you're listening on Stitcher.com, Howdy, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play, and right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com with the streaming audio, you can also click on individual podcasts and listen to them, and you can also use the search window to find podcasts about all kinds of subjects, because there's quite a lot of them, 715 of them. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, such as they are. I really love Instagram. I really appreciate the likes and shares and following on Instagram, and I appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Click on that banner that shows Mobile Podcast Command in the White Sands in New Mexico or on the donate window to make a donation. Well, I don't know where you are in your neck of the woods, but in my neck of the woods, it is still there's still snow on the ground. It's a lot warmer than it was, and the snow is melting, but you can still hear the snow, although it's not everywhere. It's just the piles that we were piling up snow like crazy. So it looks kind of like the Himalayas. out here where the snow has been piled up, but it's warm and it's easy to walk around and be outside, and it's such a great feeling after an entire season, a long winter season for most of us people in the northern part of the United States, the upper Midwest, where we have Michigan, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, where we have just been getting pounded week after week after week with more snow. The last snow in southern Minnesota, and particularly in the southwestern part of the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area, we got like 10, 15, 20 inches of snow, and we are all thrilled. But what's interesting is, like I said, the glacier is still around, although it is slowly receding. And I was thinking today, you know, what am I going to do a podcast on? It's Monday. It's getting, you know, you're going to be hearing this podcast on Monday. What am I going to do? And I thought, well, I want to do a walk and talk. And of course, the rules of the walk and talk are we don't prep, we don't plan, we don't really even think about what we're going to talk about. We're just going to do it. So, you know, I've been engaged in a lot of thought processes all day about business and about politics and about yoga and about a lot of different things. I don't think I want to make this a yoga podcast because I don't want to combine politics and yoga, but yoga is going to come up. So I'll have to do another yoga podcast later. But a couple of things that really struck me in the last week or so that I think we need a spring reset at the BobDavisPodcasts.com in terms of what's ahead for political analysis and for the coming season. And I'll tell you why. You know, as I've mentioned often in these podcasts, events seem to move really fast and forward, especially online. So if you're on Twitter or Facebook in particular, you know, news events tend to carry a certain momentum. But if you disconnect from the social media, and especially Twitter, and if you disconnect necessarily from reading the news, you know, hour by hour or watching the cable news channel, there doesn't seem to be much going on, which means in the real world, not much has changed. We're sort of still waiting to see if the economy is growing. We're sort of still waiting to see where the new administration's policies take us. We're still waiting to see, you know, what the possible outcome of the election, which is, you know, in political time, which is, you know, eons away in November, November 6th. 2018. And while there's certain levels of intensity in politics that are going to be increasing, you know, in the real world out here, we still don't hear bugs. You know, we've still got snow on the ground. It's a beautiful night. The stars are out. The half moon is out. And the world seems like it has been for quite a long time. I am sure where I'm standing right now, in this little suburban village, which has been here since the late 1940s, early 50s, that had I grown up in this neighborhood and I came back to this neighborhood, as I often do, go back to my old neighborhood in Chicago to kind of just walk around, it seems like a museum. So I doubt very seriously if anything significant has changed in this neighborhood in quite some time. Now, I don't mean to stick my head in the snow bank, so to speak, and ignore what is going on, but what I do want to do is kind of talk about the penchant that we have in media for predicting the future as though, you know, our lives depend on it. And it's so important that people make predictions and that those predictions come true and we're lauded for it. Other media people laud other media people for making predictions. And that's a huge problem because really, people don't know what's going to happen. You know, tarot card readers, astrologers, political analysts, media people, commentators really don't know what the future holds. And as I've often said, you know, the problem with doing that is you're right until you're wrong, and then you're not right anymore. And we saw that writ large in the presidential election in 2016 when everybody in the media predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president and the first woman president. And of course, it didn't happen. And everyone was just completely shocked because they believed what they were told. The other thing that happened in the last week that is fascinating is that we saw what happens when certain people in media become defenders of other, you know, of political officials, people who have been elected at any cost, and they become thick, you know, the thickest thieves with politicians, and you know, being put in a position of defending them every night on television, and sort of passing themselves off as objective observers. And this is why, and this is where we'll get into yoga a little bit. And this is why, in the past 4 years, I have slowly but surely moved to a position of, I wouldn't say that I'm objective. I would say that I'm disgusted with the whole process. I'm disgusted with the whole penchant in our media for predicting and endorsing and arguing for positions and trying to convince people of positions and reporting from points of view and all of that, that I'm, I've actually become unwittingly a kind of a fair judge of the whole process, because now I'm starting to look at the policy and the results of the policy before I judge. And that is a fascinating thing for someone who was so partisan, and for someone who was so adamantly sure that he could predict the future and that I was right. That and I still feel that way, and I'm still the same person. But my experience, you know, I can actually identify with people who report on politics and find themselves in a position of being just disgusted overall with the whole process, because I think you finally reach a point where you say, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And of course, I couldn't do this if I wasn't podcasting, because if I was working for a media company, I would be exhorted to take positions and to report in a vibrant and bright way in certain ways, so that people would be able to say, this is my guy, or people would be able to say, I hate that guy. You know, podcasting allows me the freedom to, you know, pretty much say and do whatever I want to do and talk about things the way I want to talk about them. And I think it's really important that we do not say this is true and that, or that is true, A is true or B is true, until we actually see results. You know, until there's actually an end point. So, you know, for example, all the debates about taxes and everything else, you know, throughout the election. And the result was that the Republican Congress passed a quote-unquote tax cut bill. And so now we have a piece of concrete policy that we can talk about, because they've done it. All the talk about deficit reduction and everything else during the 2016 election campaign, and now we have several continuing resolutions which have done nothing but increase the budget and increase the deficit. So we have, you know, we have concrete policy that has been, law that has been made and passed and signed, that we can look to and say, okay, here's the result of this policy. Same goes with foreign policy. And I'm, you know, this is why I ask people, as I said, and I'm going to repeat what I said in an earlier podcast, you know, that they really needed to think about what kind of economic policy we needed to have, what kind of foreign policy we needed to have as a country, and what kind of domestic policy we need to have in this country. And I don't think people did that, because I think what they were doing was reacting to and supporting points of view and rhetorical statements and belief that this guy or that guy was going to be the best guy. And that goes for the Senate, that goes for the Congress and everything else. But that's the kind of society that we are living in, where people in media are pushed to make predictions and pushed to endorse and pushed to act as though they believe this, that, or the other thing, and to convince people. And the idea is that the tribe will follow these people, right or left, up or down. You know, I don't think any of that stuff means anything, because I think our politics has become unmoored from, you know, from a sane and quote-unquote predictable position, because both parties have locked on to populism as a way to get votes. So that's the political situation. And that's intriguing to me because, you know, what I find myself doing these days is just working on business and trying to figure out ways to build my business and figure out how to be a better business person. But the thing I think that has really changed for me has to do with my practice of yoga. And, you know, this is not a yoga podcast, but I want to talk about this because this is really what, you know, came to my mind tonight while I was thinking about, well, if I do a podcast, what am I going to talk about? I'm not just going to go walk around and talk about politics, you know, because I'm not going to say that I'm not interested in it because I think about it a lot. I talk to my son about it a lot. I talk to friends who like to talk politics about it a lot. And there's a lot of things to talk about. There's we've got a ton of elections in Minnesota. We got two Senate races and a gubernatorial race and a House race that we are all locked onto. We've got a national, you know, mid-year election process and everything else, midterm election process and everything else. And that's fun and it's interesting to talk about if you like to talk about politics. But that is not what has traction for me. And I want to talk about how my yoga practice has affected how I think about this stuff in the last 3 or 4 years. I mentioned earlier that I've been working on a presentation for business, and you know I've been walking around all weekend. I've been doing two things. I've been practicing the PowerPoint presentation over and over again, and then walking around thinking about business. And one of the things that comes up a lot when we're talking about business is a payment processor. Payment processing is really helpful because it helps businesses get paid and get paid sooner, and that really helps with cash flow. So if you're a small business, really important that you listen to this because this message is for you. I'm working with a new company. You've probably heard me talk about it. I'm actually really excited about ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. If you are a developer and you are developing systems for clients or e-commerce websites for clients, then listen up because ReliaFund is a great company to work with. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. They can work with other payment processors. They can work with developers. They can work with small business people to make sure that you can clear payments. That's really what it's all about. If you're developing an e-commerce website or developing back office stuff for businesses, or if you are thinking about that as a small business person, you can call ReliaFund and they will answer the phone and you will talk to a human being, and that's the key. So here's the deal. No long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com or call Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry at 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040, and I will be telling you more about ReliaFund in the future. I love them. I have a ReliaFund button on the BobDavisPodcast.com. ReliaFund at R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund.com. So it is kind of interesting that you don't hear any bugs out here. You just hear planes. That's what I love about early spring, because as soon as it gets warm enough, I did see a bug tonight flying under the streetlight, but you certainly don't hear them, so it's dead quiet out here. It's like winter quiet, but it is starting to warm up, and you're starting to smell the ground, and it's just an incredible, you know, feeling to experience that. So, yeah, I didn't want to make this a political podcast for a lot of reasons. Part of it is that it's spring. People are kind of coming out of their cocoons, and they're just, you know, it's a really interesting thing when the seasons change, how it changes our mindset. And, you know, I'm not going to say you slow down in the spring. I mean, I think it's a quickening in the sense that it's warm and you feel good and you can put your window down for the first time and you hear all the stuff that's loose on your car for the first time with the new, you know, warm weather. And we're not even there yet. I mean, it's 40s and 50s and, you know, maybe low 60s in the Twin Cities. So we're not even there yet. And I'm looking forward to 80 and 90 and 100 and hearing those bugs and just the great feeling that that produces. So springtime is this sort of period of time when people kind of, you know, make this transition. And I just don't think people have the level of intensity that they had through the winter. And the level of frustration here in the upper Midwest with the fact that we've been waiting for this for so long. You know, we've gone at least a month longer than we normally do. We are certainly not immune to snow in May. I've seen it many times. Believe me, I've seen snow May 6th, May 7th, May 12th in the Twin Cities. cities. So we may have snow again, but we've got a little taste of spring. When that happens, I think people slow down mentally and they just are yearning for, you know, being outside and having fires and, you know, enjoying the warm weather because we have such a short period of time to do it. So I'm talking to people in the upper Midwest. I suppose if you live in California, you know, there's noticeable things about spring. If you live in the Southwest, I think the great thing about spring is that it's not real hot, so you can go out and you can enjoy, you know, the outside. And, you know, those guys are the complete reverse of the upper Midwest. The Southwest, you know, it's so hot in the summer that people just have to stay inside. They can't take that 115, 170 degree, you know, heat and the humidity that is out there, which, like for my friends in Phoenix, it may only be 20 or 30% humidity, but when it's 115, that is rough. So, and being that sun just beats down on people. So people in the Southwest, spring is great because it's still nice to be outside and it's not super hot and so forth and so on. And I think it's a great time to talk about how yoga has changed my feelings and approach to the political world, coming out of political talk radio, doing a political talk podcast, which has now become much more of a lifestyle podcast. And I think yoga has had a huge role in that because it has changed my, I don't feel, how can I explain this? So think of your eyes and your nose and your ears, you know, that meridian, you know, that horizontal meridian as the horizon. When I used to do political talk every day and when I was immersed in it, so the content, political content, day-to-day political content and day-to-day political experience for me was over my head. I was immersed in it and every little detail, and I had comments and ideas about every detail. And if I think back on how I felt emotionally, I was angry, I was frustrated, and I was always sort of managing that. And keep in mind, I was doing yoga every day then too. But what's happened since I got out of radio and started doing podcasting and got into business for myself, you know, doing podcasting and all that entails, and it's certainly no bowl of cherries. You know, there's problems every day when you're in business for yourself, and that's just how it is. It's always something. There's always a problem. But what's happened is, for me, political stuff has kind of gone from, the meridian has kind of gone from over the top of my head down, way down, to the point where I feel like it's down around my waist, and I'm looking down at it, and I don't think of it in a partisan way anymore, or I don't think about it at all. I think about stuff that has occurred to me. And I'll tell you when this started. This started a couple of years ago when I started coming out here and sitting on the hill in the morning and drinking my coffee and not looking at the phone and not thinking about anything, just basking in the sun and, you know, thinking about what I was thinking about. So my understanding is that is called, or Jung referred to that, Carl Jung referred to that as active imagination. In other words, you're aware of what you are thinking about. And this is when you sort of become aware of your own mental processes. And I guess, you know, maybe that's a form of a meditation. I don't know. But, and I don't really even think about this when I'm doing yoga. I just think about it when I'm coming out here. And I started to say, you know, I'm going to start mining that kind of stuff. I'm going to start using active imagination to mine my mind for things to talk about that I think other people may be experiencing. And I've had real good results with those kinds of podcasts. And I have to attribute that process to yoga, because yoga is this sort of process of, by practicing yoga and breathing, you develop this self-awareness that is so unique. And I am so grateful that the meridian and the immersion in politics is I've broken away completely to the point now where, imagine, you know, yourself in a balloon which was on the ground and immersed in what was going on the ground, and then the balloon becomes untethered. Hopefully that's not some kind of subconscious admission that I've become untethered, but I am pleased that I have become untethered and floated up above it all. So now I can sort of see things a little bit more from a global perspective. And it's unfortunate, because what I see are a lot of really angry people who are taking positions and making predictions that nobody is going to even remember 10 years from now, let alone 50 years from now or 100 years from now. And it becomes a question of what's really important and what really motivates people and what really is important to people and the country and all of those things. And you don't, when you reach that point, you don't necessarily look at it from a Republican or Democrat or communist or capitalist point of view. I'm certainly absolutely a libertarian in the sense that I believe the only value is individual freedom, so that people have the freedom to make that same journey in any way they choose. And if they choose to be deeply involved in partisan politics, then good for them. You know, that's certainly not something, a judgment that I want to make. So my only real value is the individual freedom piece when it comes to politics. And so when I look at what's going on, that's my own personal biases. I look at this question about individual freedom, and I think that's the key value. And that, by the way, for me, is the key value I see missing from all this. I see a lot of self-serving people, both on the activist level, I'm not making a comment about a particular, political perspective, depending on which side of the aisle you quote unquote come down on, because I think that's an illusion. I think there's just an awful lot of people that don't really even care what the outcome is. They just want to win. And I find that, unfortunately, very trying. But that's what happens when the meridian changes in terms of where you are. That's what happens when you, you know, untether that line and start to fly the balloon. You know, you don't know where you're going to go. But at the same time, there's this incredible euphoria that comes from realizing that you've let it go. I've let it go. And the thing is, and this is the thing that is absolutely fascinating to me, I'm still interested in political news. I'm still interested in the day's events. I still spend a lot of time trying to ascertain facts about particular issues. I still find it fascinating and interesting. But what I love is that I can sit and have a conversation with somebody and not realize or think that, oh, you're talking to a liberal, or you're talking to a conservative, or you have to think this way, or you have to think that way. I can sit down and experience people as they are, and hopefully they can experience me as I am. And we all have something that we have to hang on to, but I have to attribute this, you know, this process of meditation, and it's physical, and it requires an awful lot of physical energy to do what I do every day at my age. But there's so many rewards. And this, to me, I consider this a huge reward because, you know, I can actually look and see what's going on and say, you know what, this is what I think. Because, you know, if somebody's right, they're right. If something works in my view, I'm going to say so. If something doesn't work in my view, I'm going to say so. And I'm not going to feel bad because, you know, a Democrat has a good idea. Or I'm not going to feel bad because a Republican has a good idea or something that somebody sponsored actually works. I'm able to look at it from that perspective. And I don't know where this balloon is going to go. I don't know where the untethering ends up. I don't know, you know, what the end result is. But I find it is much easier to live life without worrying about outcomes so much and working to make what you do better. And if you're in politics, then, you know, you're making to do what you do better, and good for you and good luck. If you're a machinist, you're working to make what you do and make through the use of all of your machines better. If you're an aviator, you're trying to do a better job flying your plane. Whatever it is that you do, you're working on making it better, and you're not so connected to the outcome of all these other things, which may or may not be important for an individual to have to know every day. Do we really need to know every single, you know, inner working of the activity of these politicians? Is that really necessary to our day-to-day existence? If you turn your social media off, if you turn off cable television, you realize that, if you just breathe, and I've said this, and I'm going to keep saying it, because I think it's really, really important. It's going to get really important after the midterms, because then we're going to go into another one of these just orgies of media coverage called the presidential election, which is just ridiculous. You know, if somebody coughs weird, you know, there's a whole article about whether or not they're sick, and, you know, all kinds of propaganda this way and that. And it all, I will say this, I do feel, and I don't want to predict the future, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I do feel that it is leading up to something. I feel that all of this is building and building and building to a crescendo. I don't know what the event is going to be that, you know, sort of, so where I feel as though, okay, I can then do a podcast and say, we have hit a turning point, and we have arrived at this waypoint in history, and now things are going to be different. I don't feel that what has happened yet, but I do feel that all of this anger and vitriol and venom is leading up to something. And I don't know what. I mean, I know. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I've read enough history to know that politics has always been venomous and it's always been negative. But I've also read enough U.S. history and world history to know that these kinds of crazy sort of delusions, and I think we are living in a delusion. I don't mean, you know, some kind of hologram. I don't mean that it's the Illuminati, you know, conspiracy, but some sort of delusion. You know, a self-constructed delusion about things. And by the way, that doesn't mean that this is the, I'm not saying that this is some, that Trump is great and that's the delusion, or that Trump is bad and that's the delusion. I'm just saying that we are living in a collective kind of delusion about things. Because my experience with history is that when you have all this venom and all of this partisanship, eventually it leads to bad policy. And bad policy leads to mistakes, and mistakes are made, and then there are results from those mistakes that sometimes cause truly historic, concussions that we don't necessarily, you know, shockwaves that we then have to deal with. And I feel as though we are headed towards one of those historic, you know, concussions, one of those historic shockwaves that take a long time to digest and figure out what happened and understand. And, you know, that's what I see from where my balloon is floating. I don't know where you see where your balloon is floating, but hopefully that's something to think about on a beautiful spring day with the sun shining, or a beautiful spring night when you're sitting out on the deck after the, barbecue fire, that we can pull away a little bit and think a little bit and think or talk with each other without having to label each other as something that we don't agree with, that we can sit in each other with each other and experience each other as human beings. And, you know, we can think about policy and its result without having to feel as though we're attached to an individual or an outcome. And I think that's probably the most important thing that I see in terms of the altitude from which my balloon is floating, which may be headed towards insanity. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, there you go. That is the walk and talk. And, you know, that's the thing. So just think of the walk and talk as an experience where, you know, you left your house and you took a little walk, and it's the thought processes that you go through while you're walking. And this is the kind of stuff I think about all the time, and the things that I talk to myself about, you know, all the time. And I'm sharing with you, and I'm hoping that you will get a kick out of it and that you'll think about stuff too. And usually when I do these, I get email from people and they say, hey, you know, and that was really cool because I was thinking about the same kind of stuff. You know, I envy my friend Andy right now, who is, he took his trailer out to the Superstition Mountains down in Arizona. They live in Scottsdale, and they took their trailer on out to the Superstitions. And, you know, they're in their life, what's been going on is they lost their dog just recently, and you know, they love that dog, and I experienced that dog. It was a cool dog. And so they're just taking some time and relaxing out at a state park in the Superstitions. And that's the whole point about this, is that, you know, you don't know what you're going to talk about when you go on the walk. And what I do when I'm on these walks is I think about when my grandpa and my grandma, when I would go visit them in, Columbus, Ohio in the summer, they would go out for a walk every night. And, you know, they'd take me with them, and we'd talk about all kinds of stuff, philosophy and animals and history. He told me so many things on those walks, because when you're walking, you know, you're talking. And that's what I think about when I take these walks. So thanks for listening to Podcast 715, the Bob Davis Podcast, the first springtime walk and talk. Oh, by the way, before we go, in the news these days, as you know, lots of talk about foreign manufacturing and trade protection and all kinds of tariffs, both from the Chinese end or the Japanese end or the American end. And given this environment, some companies are preparing to reshore production to the United States. If this is you, if you're in the decision-making chain and a company that is thinking about doing this, then think about Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. You can visit their website at DepoStar.com, DepoStar, DepoStar.com. They're a great manufacturing company right here in Minnesota. Thanks, DepoStar, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Okay, this is podcast 715. Appreciate you listening, and happy spring. Let's go back inside. Got a lot of TV viewing. Got to watch Billions. Got to watch the new Walking... Don't Fear the Walking Dead.